Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
What a privilege to be a child of the King. We have a perspective, my brothers and sisters, that the world doesn't know anything about. We've got treasure. We've got wisdom. We've got knowledge. We've got peace. We've got power. How you gonna lose if you got Jesus? How you gonna lose if you got Jesus? Amen. And I've been preaching, for our guests and visitors, I've been preaching a sermon series on last things, those events, those things that Jesus encountered the last week of his life in ministry while he was here on earth during Passion Week, we call that. And this morning we wind up on the betrayal of Judas. And this is a tough subject. But it's one that needs to be addressed. And if you have a copy of God's Word in a Bible or a smartphone or a tablet or something of that nature, we're in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And we're going to start by reading verses 10 and 11. If you would honor God's Word one more time this morning by standing to your feet. This is the word of the Lord for the Lord's people. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. Let me read that again. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Kevin Kennedy, ask God to bless the word, would you?
Heavenly Father, we praise you this day as we gather here at Second Mile Church. We thank you for these scriptures. Thank you for Brother Cal giving the strength and the wisdom to share the word of God and a power that we all can understand. Now bless this day. Bless all who are in attendance. Let your Holy Spirit move among us, that it might change us. Open our hearts and our ears and our minds, that we might do
Thank you, my brother. Amen. Please be seated. When I say, just for a moment, just think about someone in human history. Think of the most vile, vicious, violent, despicable, despised person in human history. Who do you think of? What are the images that begin to, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Napoleon, some of those Roman Caesars like Nero. You think about modern, like Jim Jones and David Koresh and Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein. Those images all start popping up. But when I say the name Judas Iscariot, what do you think of? Nothing positive, that's for sure. You know, have you ever met a family of some parents that named their kids Judas? Why don't we do that? Because you're not going to name your child after a traitor, right? Well, three times in our text today, Judas is described as one of the 12. One of the followers, one of the closest disciples, followers of Jesus that he had. I mean, think about this. Judas walked with Jesus. He traveled with Jesus. probably slept on the side of the road sometimes, ate with Jesus, ministered with Jesus, saw the miracles of Jesus, heard the sermons of Jesus. And according to John 6, 64 and John 6, 70 and 71, Judas never came to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You know what that says to me? Listen to me. It is possible to walk and to worship with the people of God and yet not love and serve the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about the betrayal of Judas and then the potential that we all have to betray him. The betrayal of Judas was predicted. It was planned. I believe it was premeditated. And it was prescribed. Let me talk about some of these things for the next few minutes. The betrayal planned. Now, according to verse 10, that's on the heels of, you remember we talked about the great gift that Mary had given the Lord Jesus and how she had anointed him with that alabaster box and how that gift that she gave to the Lord was worth a year's worth of wages. Well, you remember what Judas had said to her? What a waste. What a waste. We could have used that money. I guarantee you Judas could have used that money. He was the treasurer of the group and he liked handling the money. Do you know why? Because he liked to get his hands in the cookie jar. Luke 22 and verse 3 tells us that Satan entered Judas. Matthew 26, 15 tells us that the primary motive behind Judas's betrayal was greed and money. And John 12, verse 6 tells us that Judas was a thief. And so when you put all these things together, we come to the realization that Judas was greedy. He was a money grubbing. I mean, that wealth and possessions and money were his gods. Okay? That's where his heart was. And when Jesus rebuked him, just a few verses in this context before what we just read, I believe Judas came to the full understanding, you know what? Things aren't working out the way I thought they would. I'm not getting rich. I'm not getting materially wealthy by following Jesus. Things just aren't working out. And so right then, he began to plan the betrayal of the Lord. The die has been cast. I mean, he'd stepped over the line. And I can't imagine anything much worse for our Lord than to have one of his own, one of his closest followers, betray him. And then the deal is done. Look at verse 11. And when they heard it, in other words, the chief priest, after he'd gone to the chief priest and the scribes, and Matthew tells us that he bargained with them. In other words, he haggled with them over the price. Y'all with me? And once they settled on a price of 30 pieces of silver, which by the way was the common price for the purchase of a slave at the slave market, 30 pieces of silver. And so once it was all planned out, I would call this premeditated. He planned this betrayal. Wasn't anything that just happened, the spur of the minute. He said, you know, things aren't working out the way I thought they would. And by the way, if things aren't working out the way you think they're supposed to, or you think things aren't working out the way you thought they would, it doesn't mean that God's way is the wrong way. You keep following Jesus. Even if you don't understand, do I understand the coronavirus? No. But I want to tell you, I've got my wagon hitched to Jesus, And I'm going to let him take me where he wants me to go during these days. And that's what we all ought to do. And so the deal is done. And by the way, don't you know that the enemies of the Lord were just jumping for joy? They've been looking for a way to kill Jesus. And now one of their own, one of the Lord's own, shows up and betrays him and sells him out. And by the way, Jesus is still being sold out today. Folks are affiliated with the church for business purposes. I love politicians. We've got some right here in this room, but sometimes politics is even used for personal gain in the church. Have mercy. Jesus is still being betrayed today for a moment of passion, with choice words of gossip, putting priorities above him. He's still being betrayed. So this betrayal was planned. And then it was predicted. Look at verse 17. In the evening, he came with the 12. Now listen to this announcement. I mean, this announcement, they're sitting there. The setting now is the Passover meal. We talked about that last week, right? And sitting right beside Jesus at the Passover meal is whom? Judas. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and said to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." Wow. What a statement. The betrayal of Judas was predicted, first of all, in the scriptures. Psalm 41:9. Let me just read that to you quickly. Psalm 41:9 says this. If I get to it quick enough here. Here we go. Psalm 41, "Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." And Andrew had those words from Psalm 55. The scriptures predicted the betrayal of Judas. And so if the disciples had been reading their Bibles, they wouldn't have been so surprised. But isn't that interesting? All the disciples except Judas is surprised. They're all saying, "Lord, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Is it I?" And I want to tell you what, everybody in this room has the potential to betray the Lord. We need to all, Bible says, be careful how you stand unless you fall. Because we all have that potential, don't we? So the scriptures had predicted this betrayal. And then the Savior even predicts it. He makes this announcement. One of you around the table tonight with me, one of you is going to betray me. Now, isn't it interesting? Jesus kept it a secret from the other disciples that Judas was the one who would betray them. Do you know why? Well, here's what I believe. I believe right up until the very end, Jesus was offering forgiveness to Judas. Right up until the very end, he's given Judas an opportunity to repent of his sin and by faith to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Right up until the very end, he's doing that. And so John's gospel tells us after this meal, Judas got up and went out into the night. And I want to tell you, for Judas, it's still night. But Judas, let me just park on that for a minute. Judas is sitting in the place of honor around that table. The Bible says that Jesus dipped the bread in that dish and fed Judas. That's what you would do for the honored guest at your table. Jesus even washed his feet that night. He's giving him every opportunity to repent. I mean, no wonder Judas couldn't take it. He had to get up and leave. Guilt got the best of him. And I've heard all the excuses for Judas that you can hear. Well, he was just a pawn in the predestined plan of God. Somebody had to betray him. I mean, the scriptures had to be fulfilled. How many of y'all have heard that? Some of y'all need to get out a little bit more if you hadn't heard that. I've heard this one. Well, he was just trying to go ahead and force the Lord's hand to set up his earthly kingdom because he knew that the disciples were all going to be in big time leadership positions. So he's just trying. Let me tell you something. Judas wasn't a victim. He wasn't a martyr. He was lost for the same reason that millions are lost. He had never repented of his sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, there are thousands upon thousands in the church today that are lost. It is so possible to look like and talk like and act like you're one of God's followers. But I want to tell you, Jesus knows our heart. And today, you're going to have the same opportunity Judas had. And did you catch what Jesus said? He said, it would have, woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he'd never been born. And by the way, if you're not born again, one day you'll wish you'd never been born. I want to tell you, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I believe what Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, our first birth was defective. We were born into sin. God knew it, and he looked through heaven and found a Savior in the person of his Son and sent Jesus to pay the price for all our sin. Aren't you thankful for him today? Amen. The betrayal was predicted. Here's the last thing I want to say to you. Look at verse 42. Now, they've been in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what I'm preaching on next week. Jesus and Peter and James and John have been in the garden, and then Jesus wakes the sleeping disciples up one more time and says, rise, verse 42, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him and lead him away safely. John 13 and 27 tells us that when Judas got up and left that table, that Passover meal, that Satan entered him. Jerry Vines has made a great statement about this text. He said it's just a short step from satanic suggestion to satanic possession. I don't believe if you're a follower, if you're a true blue child of God, I don't believe Satan can possess you because you're possessed by the Holy Spirit. But he can oppress you. I believe Judas was possessed at this point. And so he gets up and leaves, and Jesus has finished the prayer in the garden. You don't want to miss next week, man. It's going to be powerful. And Jesus tells Peter, James, and John, come on, it's time. And I want you to see where Judas stood. He leads this angry mob. The betrayal is now being perpetrated. And he leads this angry mob up the Mount of Olives. See that mob in your mind? These folks want to kill Jesus. chief priests, scribes, Roman soldiers, an angry, violent, bloodthirsty mob. And lo and behold, look who's standing there with them. Judas. And yet my heart just says, Judas, 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 what are you doing? Look who you're standing with. Who do you stand for today? Who do you stand with today? When someone mentions the name of Jesus, do you stand for him? The moral issues and decency and all of these things that are going on in our nation right now, where do you stand? Are you standing with Jesus? You know what I've learned in my life? If I don't stand with him and for him, I'll soon betray him. All of the disciples ran off and left the Lord and deserted him after this. That's where he stood. But look what Judas said. Did you catch that in verse 45? As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him. That's Judas. Went up to Jesus and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, and kissed him. Notice he didn't call him Lord, which was by far the favorite title and name that the disciples had for Jesus. Over 440 times. I believe it's over 747 times in the New Testament. Jesus is called Lord by the disciples, but he calls him teacher. There's a reason for that. He calls him teacher. And then he embraces him, and then Judas lays a kiss on the cheek of Jesus. And I want to tell you, all the venom of hell was behind that kiss. It was the kiss of death. Matthew 12, 30 says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And when Judas kissed him, that angry mob with swords and clubs and knives and all kinds of weapons grabbed a hold of the Lord, arrested him, and took him down to the high priest's house. That's all Mark tells us about Judas. But John and Matthew kind of fill in the blanks. And Matthew tells us that Judas witnessed the arrest, the trial, and most likely the beatings and the sentencing of Jesus. And the scripture says he was filled with remorse. Remorse. He was sorry. So sorry that he went to the temple and told the chief priest, I betrayed an innocent man. And he threw the 30 pieces of silver on the floor. Now, some folks read that and say, well, then Judas must be in heaven. No, friend, remorse is not the same word as repent. Remorse means to be sorry. Repentance, the word repent means to be so sorry, there's a change of the heart and a change of the mind. If he had repented like Simon Peter did, he would have been saved and restored. But Judas left the temple floor, went out and got him a rope, wrapped it around his neck, and swung out into eternity. And my friend Judas is in hell today. Not because he committed suicide, because he never repented of his sin and believed on Christ as his only means of salvation. For Judas, it's too late. But guess what? It's not too late for us. Not yet, it's not. Would you bow your head with me? Just everybody in the room, just close your eyes and bow your head. Maybe I want to pray for all of us, but maybe today you're here and you've affiliated with the church. Maybe you're even a member of the church, but there's been no real life change There's been no change of the mind, no change of the will, no change of the heart. And you're no different today than when you claimed to have met him. You need to be born again today, sir, ma'am, young lady, young man. You need to be born again. And that's something God does. All we do is receive it. The scripture says, if you be willing to confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever really done that or not. I don't know if I prayed some prayer way back a long time ago, but I don't have what you're talking about. Listen, friend, today's the day. You need to receive Christ as your only means of salvation and trust him and him alone. I want to pray for you. God, right now, all across this room, would you give people the power and the boldness and the courage, the righteousness to just trust Christ? I want to ask you to just pray a prayer like this. Lord, I'm a sinner. Like Judas, I've betrayed you. I've denied you. But I believe what the Bible says. I believe that you died for all my sin. I know that you're alive today. Would you change my heart? I give everything that I am today to you. Thank you for saving me. I'm going to live for your glory. By your power and your strength from here on out. If you prayed that way today, there's one of two things you need to do. We've got some cards you should have gotten when you came in the door. You just check that box that says, I prayed to receive Christ. Give me your name and your address and put it in one of these welcome boxes, one of these welcome buckets today. And I'll follow up with you. But you can't be ashamed of the Lord, or he'll be ashamed of you. And here's what I would do if I were you. If you prayed that way this morning, and you really believe that God saved your soul right where you sit today, if you're not ashamed of Jesus, and you don't care who knows about it, you want everybody to know about it, while every head's bowed and every eye, would you just stand to your feet right where you are? Just stand right up out of your chair. Say, yes, Pastor, I prayed to receive Christ today. For the first and only time I really need to do it, would you just stand to your feet? Come on now. You say you love the Lord, you got to stand up for him. Anybody here? I want to pray for the rest of us. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Y'all just keep standing right there. Look right here at me, you two. I want to give you some things that will help you get started right in your new life with Christ. Right after the service, if you'll just meet me right back here in the kitchen, I'll put that stuff in your hands and we'll talk to you about getting started right in your new life with Christ. Okay? God bless you all. And for the rest of you, I want to pray for you. Father, we've all got the potential and the propensity to betray you. I have before in my life. God, we need your strength. We need your power. We need your boldness. And we need your love and your grace and your mercy. Forgive us, Lord, for not standing when we should. Forgive us for not following in the way and in the manner in which we're supposed to. Clean us up today, Father. And keep us close and clean. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.